Hello and welcome to the Gadget Show podcast. I'm Susie Perry.
And I'm Jason Bradbury, with a big thanks to CEX for sponsoring this episode.
Yeah, CEX make upgrading your tech simple and a lot more affordable.
Trade in tech you've finished with and turn it into cash or credit for your next upgrade.
From phones and tablets to consoles, games and cameras, all properly refurbed.
Yeah, and everything's tested and covered by a five-year warranty.
Visit webuy.com or pop into a CEX store near you to get started.
Okay, now, 2026 is shaping up to be an absolutely amazing year for games. We've got massive blockbuster sequels, some seriously exciting new IPs, and loads of stuff that's really pushing what next-gen consoles and other gaming platforms can do. So, I thought I'd put together my own list, and in no particular order. So here are my top 10 games that I think we should be most excited about playing in 2026. First up is something completely different. Cairn. Cairn? Susie? As in Cairn Gorms. Anyway, thank you. Not Ken Barlow Simulator, in case that's what you're thinking. This one has recently launched on Steam, which is where I came across it, but also across PC and PlayStation 5. You play as a mountaineer attempting to scale a massive, unforgiving mountain using realistic climbing physics. And I mean realistic. Every handhold, every step, every rope placement matters. You're constantly managing stamina, your equipment, the weather conditions, and even how tired your character is getting. There are no guns, no enemies, no combat as such, just the you versus nature thing. And that actually makes it more tense than a lot of action games. One wrong move and you can fall hundreds of meters down the cliff face. Sometimes it looks really peaceful and always absolutely beautiful. And then suddenly a storm rolls in and everything becomes terrifying. It feels like a mix of survival sim and extreme sport. And honestly, I think it's one of the most original games I've seen in quite some time. Next up in my list of really hard to pronounce games is Nioh 3. And I've probably said that wrong. This lands on February the 6th. So kind of nowish, exclusively on PlayStation 5. If you've played the first two games, you already know how intense they are. Lightning fast samurai combat, brutal difficulty, pure chaos, and some of the wildest boss fights in gaming. This time around, the developers are expanding the world, adding more freedom to explore and deepening the combat systems even further. You'll be switching weapons, mastering different stances, using magic, dodging huge monster attacks. It's fast, it's tactical, and incredibly demanding. You're going to die in this game a lot. But when you finally beat a boss that's been destroying you for the past hour, the feeling is fantastic. If you love tough action RPGs that reward skill and patience, Nioh 3 is going to be huge in your world. Now for some proper horror, Resident Evil Requiem. This drops on February the 27th across PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PC of course, and Nintendo Switch 2, which is rather cool. This is the next main entry in the Resident Evil series, and Capcom are really leaning back into classic survival horror, which I'm very much here for. We're talking dark, creepy environments, limited ammo, puzzle solving and horrifying new creatures designed to make you jump out of your seat. They're also giving players the option to switch between first person and third person views depending on how immersive or terrifying you want it to be. From everything shown so far, it feels slower, a little bit moodier and much more focused on tension rather than big action set pieces. Basically, it looks like old school Resident Evil, but built for next gen hardware. And I'm so here for it. Time for something a bit different now, a bit more fun and chaotic. Mario Tennis Fever. So this arrives on February the 12th for, well, you guessed it, Nintendo Switch 2. It looks like the biggest Mario Tennis game yet, with loads of playable characters from across the Mario universe. Crazy special shots and new game modes. You've got that classic arcade style fun mixed with more competitive options if you want some serious matches. It's the kind of game that's perfect for quick multiplayer sessions with friends, but also something you can really sink time into and get good at. After all the dark horror and brutal combat on this list, it's nice to have something pure fun in here too. Next is an interesting twist on Pokemon. Pokemon Pocopia. Pocopia? This arrives on March the 5th, and it's another exclusive for the Nintendo Switch 2. This isn't your usual Pokemon adventure with, you know, gyms and battles. Instead, it's much more of a life sim style game. You're building a village, crafting items, creating habitats, helping Pokemon live and thrive in your world. It's basically Pokemon meets Animal Crossing. You'll still need loads of familiar Pokemon, but the focus is on creativity, exploration, and building a cozy little community. It looks really charming, and I'd say it's perfect when you want, you know, just to chill, and maybe it's a good antidote to intense boss fights, you know, because sometimes you just want to sit back and enjoy a game, and this feels like that kind of experience. Next up is Saros, which launches on April the 30th as a PlayStation 5 exclusive. This is a fast-paced sci-fi action game set on strange alien worlds, filled with intense shooting, wild enemies, and really stunning visuals. It's being talked about as a spiritual successor to Returnal on the PS5, meaning fast movement, tough combat, and a story that unfolds bit by bit as you keep pushing forward. Each run through the game apparently changes things ever so slightly, keeping it unpredictable and fresh. It looks challenging, it looks really stylish, and packed with next-gen spectacle. Right, Susie, what's the one thing Gadget Show fans always want to talk to you about when they stop you in the street?
Did anybody ever win that competition they always ask me?
That is the single most asked question for both of our lives for possibly the last 20 years or so. Well, Susie, I am beyond excited because, wait for it, the Gadget Show competition is back. And this time, thanks to our amazing sponsor, we've got a massive £5,000 to spend at CX to give away. That's £5,000, folks.
This is amazing. I think it calls for a classic Gadget Show style roll call of what you could buy with this amazing prize. So, you could walk away with...
I can't believe we're doing this. It's so cool. Here we go. A PlayStation 5, an Xbox, a Switch 2, a powerful gaming PC or a sleek laptop.
The latest iPad, a top-spec DSLR camera, lenses and filming kit, a top-end iPhone or a flagship Android smartphone.
You could even start your retro gaming collection with a selection of classic consoles and stacks of games.
A smartwatch, headphones, earbuds, speakers.
A VR headset, streaming gear, controllers and accessories.
Yeah, basically, the possibilities are endless. Whatever tech you've been dreaming about, you could buy.
For me, Susie, being honest, I'd go for the ultimate gaming setup. But whatever you want to buy, entering couldn't be easier. Just come and join us over on Patreon.
Yeah, once you're there, just like the OG competition, you'll need to answer a multiple choice competition question. Here it is. In what year did The Gadget Show first air on TV? Was it A, 2002, B, 2004, C, 2006, or D, 2007? So all this could be yours for as little as the price of a cup of coffee.
Just direct message us your answers over on Patreon and we'll be choosing the winner based on the best answer and announcing them at the end of the series. Full competition terms and conditions can be found via the link in this week's episode. Next up, do you remember GoldenEye on the N64, 1997? Still now, possibly one of my favourite games of all time. Well, you can imagine that I'm quite excited for this next title, which launches on May the 27th, 007 First Light. It's coming to PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PC and Nintendo Switch 2. It tells a brand new story about a younger James Bond before he becomes the legendary 007. You'll be sneaking through enemy bases, okay? Sounds like GoldenEye. Using spy gadgets. Yep, okay, that ticks my retro sensibilities as well. Blending into high-class parties and getting into explosive action sequences across glamorous locations around the world. I love it. What's really exciting is it's being made by the studio behind the Hitman games, and they're brilliant at giving players freedom to approach missions however they like. So look, like most of the games on this list, I can't guarantee it's going to be great. It has the makings of something quite special. Now, if like me, you are a huge fan of the Spider-Man games from Insomniac, then you're going to love this title coming exclusively to PlayStation 5 sometime in 2026, because it's by the same gaming studio. The tone for this Marvel title is much darker and more intense, though, than the Spider-Man games. You'll be playing as Logan, using his claws in brutal close-quarters combat, slicing through enemies in a way that feels far more savage than your usual superhero gaming fare. The story also seems to dive into Wolverine's past and his personal struggles, which I love because I'm a huge old fan of the X-Men comics, giving it a more emotional edge. It feels like a comic book adventure and a gritty sort of Hollywood action film all thrown into one. And I, for one, am really excited for its release sometime this year. Lara Croft returns in Tomb Raider Legacy of Atlantis, expected around mid to late 2026, PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S and PC. This adventure takes players to the mythical lost city of Atlantis, with huge ancient ruins, underwater exploration, environmental puzzles, and a pixelated Lara stopping and looking at the floor going, oh no, sorry, that's the first generation Lara Croft. Massive cinematic moments. It looks like a blend of classic Tomb Raider exploration with modern open environments. And of course, next-gen visuals. Expect loads of climbing, secret areas, puzzle solving and big action set sequences. It feels to me like a proper blockbuster Tomb Raider adventure built for modern consoles. I'm going to be honest, not necessarily my thing, but certainly a title to look out for and that one that could deliver. And finally, the big one, Grand Theft Auto 6. If it's not delayed further, of course, this will arrive on November the 19th for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X and S. Rockstar are promising their biggest and most detailed open world ever, with multiple playable characters and a city that feels alive in ways that we haven't seen before. You'll have their signature mix of crime, drama, dark humor, insane freedom and endless side quests. And of course, GTA Online is going to be absolutely huge once again. Love it or hate it, this game is not only going to dominate gaming in 2026, but entertainment as a whole. I really think it's going to be a release like we've never witnessed before. And I just want to make final mention of a game that has dominated my Christmas playlist and most of January and a little bit of February so far, and that is, of course, Ark Raiders. Launched just before Christmas, I got on board immediately. I've played it on my Steam Deck, I play it on my Xbox, and my PC, actually, via Game Pass. I absolutely love it. It's an extraction shooter. The narrative is quite simple. You've got a timed session in a number of really beautiful worlds to go in, grab some technology, some forage for food, for medicine, for weaponry, for components, for metal, electronics, you name it, and then get out of town before a nuclear weapon goes off. There's been something of a social phenomenon around this game where, for some reason, players have been reluctant to shoot other players and instead opting to fight as a team against massive mechanical monsters. It's a beautiful game. It's rather inexpensive. There's a lovely community surrounding this game, and the developers have promised that the development map for 2026 is going to include lots of new features. So, still lots to come from Ark Raiders. Hope you enjoyed my list, Susie.
That was a long list.
Thank you, darling.
I'm going to have a look at Ken.
Oh, yeah. It's so good. Maybe not enough on that list in that sort of artistic vein. So we could always come back and do another list in a future podcast, maybe, about indie games. That would be quite good. But some real blockbusters, some great titles to look out for there.
Yeah, it just sounds a bit different, doesn't it, Ken?
It does.
You being versus the mountain. No great shooting and monsters and, just tension, like drama and stuff.
Yeah.
And it sounds bit nerve-wracking and immersive. I quite like that. Okay, very good. Well done.
Right, our top 10 gadget flops caused a bit of a storm last week. So, Susie, this week you are in the hot seat and you've got to guess in order of most profitable, where the top 10 most successful consumer gadgets ever sit on the list. Are you ready?
Okay, so the opposite of last week. Yeah, ready.
Yeah, and remember, these are individual releases, not product categories. So, big hint, there might be a few from the same manufacturer. I'm going to start the bidding at the Sony PlayStation 2, Susie.
Yeah. Well,
obviously, a games console. Released in the year 2000.
I think it's quite high. Maybe even top... number three.
Very close.
Oh!
Number four.
Okay, okay.
I feel bad. I always feel like I should give you it, but I can't. the sales were, believe it or not, 160 million units. Best-selling console ever. Estimated profit in the $20 to $30 billion region.
Wow.
Right.
Okay,
we're
going to
carry on.
Four. Yeah.
Nintendo DS. All right, so obviously a handheld gaming console. Released 2004.
Is it five?
Yeah. How did you know that?
I didn't. I'm just guessing.
That's bloody brilliant. Okay. Yeah, that's absolutely amazing. So, well done, Susie. Lifetime sales, 150 million consoles were sold worldwide. So not far off the PlayStation 2. With a profit estimated at between $15 and $25 billion. It's incredible, isn't it? What about that?
Okay, what else you got?
All right, I'm going for Apple iPhone 7. Released in 2016.
I don't think it's their biggest phone, though, so I'm going to go 8.
Yeah.
No.
How the fruit did you get that?
I didn't know it, I'm guessing.
That's incredible. Right. Lifetime sales. Well done, Susie. 159 to 160 million units. Their profits in the region of $15 to $20 billion. Incredible stuff. Okay, here we go. Motorola Razr version 3. Do you remember that? The flip phone. 2004. Oh. I almost told you how many it sold then, but that would give the game away. What did it go on? Make a pitch between 1 and 10.
9.
You know what? You either get it right or you get it almost right. 10.
Oh,
you just found the 10th most successful consumer gadget ever. 130 million of these phones were sold. That's incredible. Leading to profits of between $10 and $15 billion.
Gosh. Throw one at me.
Nokia 1110.
I loved a Nokia back in the day.
Many people listening and watching this podcast may be too young to remember how important Nokia were, Suze, in terms of the design of the, you know, the first proper generation of personal mobile phones.
We both had Nokias when we met, I seem to remember.
We did.
Yeah,
we
did. I was obsessed.
N95 with... I had.
Yes. Oh, I love that phone.
Yeah. But it's not the N95, it's the 1110 that we're talking about.
I think it's massive. I'm going massive. Number 2.
So close again. Number 3.
Oh, really?
Number 3. Lifetime sales 248 million units. Can you believe that? The second highest selling phone of all time, but the third most successful piece of consumer technology, with estimated profits in the $25 billion region. All right, how about this?
Yeah, go on.
How about the Nokia 1100? So its predecessor, all right? So the 1110 was 2005. The 1100, if that's what it's called, I guess it is, came out in 2003.
Oh, so 2 years earlier, so 2 years more of sales.
A low-cost phone, actually, this was, which did lead to profits.
Are you leading me to number 2, maybe?
Yeah. Well done, Susie P.
You gave me a clue then.
$25 to $30 billion profit is what they estimate for this. Absolutely incredible.
No, they just ruled the world, didn't they, then? You see, I could handle a phone like that again now. Simple.
All right, Susie, Apple iPhone 6S. All right, the one with the that introduced 3D touch.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Number 7.
It's number 9.
Oh, I got it wrong. Okay.
It's number 9. Okay, Susie, Apple iPhone 5S, released in 2013.
Number 6.
It's number 7.
Oh!
Oh, my God. Never play darts, because you'd be... I'm going for the bullseye, you get the ring around the bullseye. I'm going for the 7, you get the 6.
That's the story of my life.
Facts about the iPhone 5S, 164 to 170 million units shipped combined with the Plus variants, a hugely profitable iPhone, $15 billion to $20 billion in profits, Susie.
Wow. Okay. So we've got two to go, 6 and 1, and I'm guessing that you might go on. You might give me 6 first.
All right, we're just going to mix it up. Random. Nintendo Switch, Susie, released in 2017. You don't need me to tell you much about this. You know the Switch.
I think it's mid. I think it's 6. This is number 6, because I think I know what's number 1.
Well, as we narrow down, I think it's logical that it sits in that place. You are, of course, correct. The Switch, in at number 6 of the most successful consumer technology creations. Lifetime sales, Susie, of between 153 and 154 million units. Wow. Woo! That means $15 to $25 billion going back to Nintendo and giving us all an incredible portable gaming experience with the likes of Zelda and Mario. And now we come to the top spot. Yes, you know it, Susie. It's the Apple iPhone
6.
Yes, and 6 Plus. They are combined in this category. Okay. Release date 2014. Lifetime sales 222 million units shipped globally, making it the best-selling smartphone model ever. So the profits that they made out of this this phone and its 6 Plus variant are as high as between $90 and $120 billion.
Yeah, that's insane. I only knew that because I wrote an article on it. But well done at home.
Well done you. I thought you did really well.
Well, I kind of got them slightly wrong, but... In the right ballpark, anyway. It was good fun.
I think that just about wraps it up, Suze, for this week's podcast. Okay, so stay tuned to all of our feeds, and we'll see you next week.
Have a good one.
The Gadget Show podcast with Jason and Susie was presented by Jason Bradbury and Susie Perry off the telly. It was produced by Ewan Keel and Tom Clint, and is a North One production.